Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 13 of Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. How are you, Miss Carrie?
Hi, Kristen. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Hanging in there. So we have a good topic for tonight. We're going to talk about conflicted value systems. So when you're not together as husband and wife anymore with your ex, and maybe people that are involved in your life or your ex's life maybe have some different values than you guys shared when you were together, and how we cope with that. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking it is a good topic, because obviously when you are in a long-term relationship with somebody, you know, you really assess the things that are important to them, their values, the things, you know, that they hold dear to them. So, you know, of course you're going to be in line with each other, probably for the most part. But when you separate and you have new people in your life, that could be something that's a conflict, not only for you, but for your kids too, kind of going back and forth between the two houses. So what do you think about some of the first things we're going to talk about, such as marriage?
So I agree. You know, when we first get married the first time, you're generally younger and you talk about all these things and you have all this time to talk about things because you don't have kids. You don't have all this extra stuff going on in your life. And you can really say, like, okay, this is what I think about parenting and this is the way I want to do it. But your second time around, like for me, at least, my relationship with my husband went very, very quickly. We met in July. We were having a baby in December. Well, we were pregnant in December. We had a baby in that following August, and it was super quick. Like, yes, we talked about all that, but it wasn't like we had a ton of time. And he was already a dad. I was already a mom. So it was a lot of different dynamics going on. Mm-hmm. And at that point in my life, I was 33. I was 33. And for me, being pregnant and not technically married wasn't a huge deal. I loved my husband and I knew we were going to be together and we were going to get married, and I was fine with that.
Yeah, so I agree. I think, you know, also you just have to think about where you start from in terms of your values. Are you more conservative? Are you more liberal? Are you, you know, pretty religious? Are you more spiritual? Do you not really have a foundation or, like, you know, a guiding principle? So, you know, I agree. It's kind of like when you get older, I felt the same way, that, you know, the things that you think are so important, like, you know, dating and being engaged for a while, and then you get married, then, you know, like years later you have a kid, and the second marriage, I was totally the same, where you're like, oh, okay, yeah, we're cool, let's just have a baby, you know, because you're like mid-30s, who cares at that
point? Right, you know, you want to have more than one kid, and your right. Time clock's ticking, and, you know, I would never say to my teenage daughters now, like, sure, yeah, have a baby out of wedlock, like, that's not my recommendation. But I also, you know, if they were in a committed relationship and they're in their 20s and they're happy and they want to have a baby, or it happens, like, I would not condemn them for that either.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think, you know, part of going through a divorce or breakup of a relationship, you just are very vulnerable. So you are sensitive to criticism and to maybe, you know, comments, either people say them directly or sort of off the cuff. So you know what that feels like to be judged. And I think that's just something that I try to carry forward, that no matter what the type of relationship is, what the dynamic is, what the structure is, that I just try not to be judgmental about it, because I know how that kind of feels.
I agree with that 100%. And I don't know, it's interesting that you say it's because of going through the divorce process, because I've been questioning myself on that, because I could say, honestly, in my 20s, I was very judgmental. And I don't know if that's an age thing, that, you know, here I am almost 40. And is it because I'm getting older and have lived more life? Or is it because I've gone through all of this, these experiences? But yeah, way less judgmental, and teaching my children now to be much more tolerant and, you know, just open to other things. So just something as simple as, like, we'll be driving and my son will see somebody walking down the street and it's snowing. He'll be like, oh my God, that guy, why is he even walking?
Mm-hmm.
And for him, he's 8. He just thinks that's silly. Like, why isn't he driving his car? And I'll say, buddy, maybe he doesn't have a car.
Right.
Maybe he's walking to work. Maybe, like, that's the only pair of shoes he owns. And I, like, but I'm, like, trying to teach that tolerance and, like, being less judgmental to them too.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other day, my daughter's been sick all this week, so I let her sleep in bed with me because she just is super not feeling good. So I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday, she rolls over and she goes, so you've been married twice? And I said, yeah. And she goes, so if you get married again, you'll be married 3 times? And I said, yeah. And then I go, you know, that's not normal though, right? Like, most people don't get married that many times. She's like, no, I know.
That's awesome. Yeah. I actually wanted to say that in our intro, because I feel like, sorry for, like, taking such a long hiatus in between episodes, but we've all been sick. My family had stomach bug, we had fevers, and now your family has it, and it's been a hot mess. And now you're sick.
Yeah.
I know. But what do you think about, so let's say, here's a scenario. Let's say you are with your girls and your relationship, and you're teaching them like this. Like, it's not normal to be married 3 times, but this isn't the case. But let's say your ex is, like, you know, getting married and divorced and married and divorced. And how do you teach or respect differences and the difference of family values? Like, you're saying that's not normal to be married, you know, multiple times, but your ex, for he, this, again, not true. But for example, let's say he was, you know, married 6 times or something crazy. What would you teach your daughters about that?
Yeah, I guess probably the lesson, and the lesson for me as well, is just, you know, you really have to try to think about the relationship that you're going into, try not to rush things, try to learn about your patterns, try to learn about yourself. I guess, like, the lessons that come from what happens when you keep making mistakes in relationships. So I guess just focusing on that, as opposed to, like, the black and white value of it. Cause I think it's just, you know, with kids, everything is a process. Everything is, you know, potentially a learning experience. So, you know, what do you think that, like, what about this person did dad like? What do you think it was that, you know, it didn't work out? What do you think would be good for him? So just to be able to, I guess, maybe analyze it in a way where they can understand for themselves and try to apply it to themselves in whatever way in the future.
And I think that that's really great too, because it helps them not only understand the process, but look at their dad or their mom or whoever it is as a person, and less as a, you know, this superhero parent. Because we've talked about this before, where it's, I think, probably at a younger age when you're in a blended family or divorced family or whatever, because you have to almost, you're almost forced into looking at your parents as people, because you can see so many different sides of them that I don't think you necessarily see when you're in a nuclear family and it's, everything's hunky dory and there's no problems, and or the problems are all hidden from the children, that you don't look at your parents as, like, actual people. They're just your, you know, superhero parents.
Yeah.
So I think that's really good at, like, you know, what are the things that you think helped or didn't work out? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Because I think that's been kind of a common theme of the people that we've had as guests, Brittany and the guy,
Derek.
Yes. I was going to say Doug, but yeah, that was just a very, familiar space for them coming from a blended family. So I think, right, you just kind of lose the judgment. It's like, you know, growing up in New York City, if there's, you know, 200 countries represented in, like, you know, 7 square miles, you're going to be pretty tolerant of diversity and different foods and different languages and stuff. So it's kind of like a variation of that with relationships.
I agree. I actually read an article about Lenny Kravitz this morning, which kind of caught my interest because he was married young, had a daughter, and then they split up but have remained friends. And now his ex-wife is remarried. They have two kids. And the article was about how it's all like one big happy family. Like he's very close with his daughter and her siblings, and he and his ex-wife's husband all get along great. And there's like, you know, a couple pictures in the article. I think it was in People. And I'm like, you know what? That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And here's like a high profile, like famous person doing it the right way. And I'm like, okay, that's really cool.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay. So our next idea. So we talked about marriage and like having a baby and what we would teach our kids with that. How about like something, a topic like work ethic? How do you teach your kids a good work ethic, especially in a situation where the other side of the family may or may not have the same values?
Yeah. So I was thinking of our friend that we were going to have on the show that's probably maybe down the road is going to commit to it. But basically her ex is kind of just in like a kind of average job, not very high aspiring. And she's, you know, very intelligent, the manager in her profession, very educated. And, you know, they're trying to decide about college right now. So, you know, she's trying to tell her son one thing and her ex is, you know, influencing in a different way. I think, again, you just have to try to impart as much as you can from your perspective, you know, and I guess knowing, you know, you have older stepkids, but just knowing that we all are like, think we know everything in our 20s, that we're basically all like, you know, super self-centered and egocentric and stuff like that, that, you know, probably things will change and the advice that people give us will eventually take. But, you know, we just try to impart whatever we can. So if you really are focused on education, or if you're really focused on, you know, some people really value being stay-at-home moms. That's, you know, what works best for them. That's what works best for their family. And therefore, you know, they're giving up a whole salary with that. And other people, you know, that's not their value system, that they really want to have the two incomes. They want to, you know, buy and, you know, spend and be more focused on that. So I guess it just depends, you know, on every family and what is important to you.
Yes. And I think that, you know, we all want to teach our kids a good work ethic. Like, so you want them to learn to do chores, and we do, you know, allowance or chore money or whatever it is. And I feel like it all depends on how you've grown up and how your life is now, because I know, like, I think my kids are spoiled rotten. And sometimes it brings me to tears because I'm like, what am I doing wrong that they are so ungrateful? I mean, I talk about being grateful. I like try to emulate it. I, you know, we do please and thank you. But then it'll be something simple like, well, because I want it, or we'll just buy a new one. And I want to lose my mind because like, why are they acting that way? And then I reflect on it and figure, well, they're probably learning that from me. And that's a hard one.
Right.
But I don't think I'm a spoiled brat. I'm probably spoiled. I was raised an only child with three parents that we lived a pretty nice life. So I was definitely spoiled. But I remember my dad always saying to me, you know, it's okay to be spoiled as long as you're like a nice, kind person. And I think that I am. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to teach our children the same thing, but you know, I don't make them mow the lawn. We have somebody that mows the lawn. I don't make them clean the house. I have somebody, thankfully, that helps clean the house. They do laundry. They do chores. They wash the windows. They mop the floor. They vacuum. Like, so they help. But we are fortunate enough to have help at the same time. So I feel like it creates a weird dynamic for them, because sometimes they're spoiled and sometimes I'm like, absolutely not. You have to do all this stuff to earn it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I could say the same thing on like just a much smaller scale, and probably all of us, you know, every time we go to damn Walmart, you know, and I have to first go to the toy aisle and get some little piece of crap toy for $5 or whatever, so then we can, you know, continue our shopping. Or, you know, one of the girls from our mom's club was saying how at ShopRite they have to buy like the dollar matchbox car every time, so that, you know, the kids don't freak out, so they can get what they need done. So I think it is a hard, you know, balance of like catering to your kids and then expecting things from them. I mean, I love that your kids do chores and, you know, they participate and stuff like that. I mean, for me, my kids are little, so they don't do that kind of stuff yet. But, you know, I'll say like, no, we can't get this today because we need money for Gwenny's birthday. I mean, like the $5, you know, crappy unicorn stuffed animal that we have 10 of is not breaking the bank. But it's just the whole concept.
It's the point, right?
Yeah, of like thinking outside of yourself that I try to instill.
And one thing that like I'm good with, and I think teaching that think outside of yourself and be a little bit selfless is, I'm like, you know, we have this one book that's called What If Everybody Did That? And we've read it a zillion times. So I tell the kids, I'm like, well, they're like, well, I just want this one $5 toy at ShopRite. I'm like, but you're one of six kids. If I have to buy six of them, how much money am I spending? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, my 20-year-old doesn't want the $5 toy. But the point is that, like, it's not just you. If I had just you, I could probably buy you that match car every single time we go to ShopRite. But I can't. Because there's at least four of you all the time that want that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's too much money and it's wasteful. Like, I did take them this past weekend. There was a 25% off sale on stuffies, on any kind of stuffed animal at the toy store. And my kids love stuffed animals. And it's one of those things that I hate to buy because we have a kajillion of them.
Yes.
But I took them and they all bought something little and I spent $30 and I got four stuffed animals and they played with them all afternoon and they were all sick and they like cuddled with them and slept with them. So I'm like, okay, like mom felt good. The kids were happy. Like all was well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just being consistent with that message and, you know, whatever's going on in the other household of however, you know, maybe the other person, the other parent is managing their approach to money and, you know, spending and contributing or chores, that, you know, you can kind of only do what's like on your side of the fence, you know?
Yeah. And I think you and I are aligned that like we both work hard. Like I have a second side job as an entrepreneur. My husband has opened his own businesses forever. So I think our kids are learning like that part of it, that you don't necessarily have to work for someone else. You can work for yourself, but we work hard. Like we're kind of always working.
Yeah.
Which is the downside of being your own business owner. But I think that our kids will get that. And one of my points that I wanted to make on this topic was, what if the other side of the equation does not work and just collects alimony? And right. How do you, like, as your children grow, like in our situation, our children are growing up and getting old enough to say, well, why doesn't dad work? Or why doesn't mom work? Or why does my stepmom get to stay home, but my mom has to work? Or, you know, all the different dynamics. And that's a tough one, like, because you're now in this blended family. And how do you say, well, okay, here I am. I'm working a couple jobs. Dad's working a couple jobs and mom's not.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, if like mom is staying home and being like a full-time mom, you know, and that's what she wants to do, I guess, you know, the whole alimony thing is rough. It's very complicated. But I guess like where I would approach it is just, you know, I think work is really meaningful and I think it gives you purpose. And if you find your passion, like that's where you're in the flow. So, I'm grateful to have a job that I love and people that I love working with and, you know, my clients that I love. So, I, you know, would pick this over, you know, anything else at the moment. So, I guess I would just say, you know, it's kind of like never be sorry when you say you have to go to work. Like if you love your job, you shouldn't be sorry. Like you should tell your kids, you know, I'm going to work and I'll be back later. So I guess I would just kind of approach it that way for you guys. You know, you get to be creative with your side businesses. You know, working affords you the opportunity to do like really cool things and, you know, have beautiful things. So that's just, you know, where you're at, and that motivation and determination will, you know, be passed on to your children.
I think that that's true. I was probably a year and a half ago, we were up visiting our oldest in college, and the 11, she was probably 10 at the time, said, she made some comment about, we asked her what she wanted to do when she grew up, and she said, well, I don't want to work for anybody else. Like, that's dumb. I want to own my own business. And we were like, all right.
That's awesome.
Great. Yeah. Yep. 10 years old. Like, good girl. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm.
get you some capital and get this thing going.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, come up with some idea. So we'll see where that goes. But
that's cool.
Yeah, it is. And I don't remember, for me growing up, like, my mom was a teacher, my dad was insurance sales and real estate, and my stepdad worked for a company, and it was never like, none of them were really entrepreneurs. Now, later in life, my stepdad actually is. I didn't know that at the time, but he does own a business on the side. But I didn't know that when I was younger. So, like, I was kind of raised as, you know, you go to work, you work 9 to 5 or 7 to 3 or whatever it is, but never really had that exposure. So I think that our kids will have, you know, a whole different perspective on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's awesome. It's definitely, you know, just opening their horizons to different possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what do you think about differences between, like, drinking at home? You know, some people smoke pot, like, around their kids, hopefully not too much, but drinking. So like, for me, I do enjoy what I call mommy juice. So you know, we're pretty open about it in our house, but, you know, it's never like a problem. But you know, I know for you, like, you don't like to, you wait until your kids go to bed to, like, have a glass of wine.
I do. And I didn't used to, but then two Christmases ago, my son made me a Christmas card with a bottle of wine on it. And I got kind of like, oh, okay. Maybe I shouldn't, like, do it amongst them. And I don't know why I have that, like, sense of, like, I shouldn't. Like, I grew up, my parents always had, you know, wine or beer in the house, and they weren't getting drunk or anything like that, but it was always fine. And it was never like a forbidden thing. I was allowed to have a sip. And we kind of raise our kids the same way. Like, if we're home and you're not driving and you want to have some, great, go for it. So that it's not like the forbidden fruit. And yeah, I remember distinctly in college, like, I lived on an all-girls floor my freshman year. And the girls went completely bananas. They were smoking and drinking and doing drugs. And I'm like, what is happening here? Because the two girls that I can clearly remember went to school at a Catholic school, and they were, like, super strict parents, never allowed to do a thing.
Right.
And they got to school and went, like, berserk. And my husband and I, thank God, are on the same page, because they're like, we don't want our kids to do that. Like, I want them to have some experience at home, so when they get to that point, they know what happens, how they feel, like, how much they can handle, so they don't go to, like, some frat party and get, you know, God forbid, like, roofied.
Right. Yeah. And I think, like, for my family, you know, we have wine with dinner. Like, it's just, it's always pretty normal. You know, we, like, have fun cocktails to celebrate, you know, whatever, the Super Bowl or the polar bear plunge or whatever it is, you know, that's kind of like why we're all getting together. But it's definitely like a social thing. So I think the same for us would be true. Although I will share the story that, so where we live, when you come off the parkway entrance, you can go left or right, and right is, like, into the town, and left is, like, if you go down the street, then there's a Wawa, the gas station, and the liquor store. So my 2-year-old would...
Uh-oh. I can feel this one coming.
Yeah, she's very astute. So we get to the bottom of the ramp, and she just, I look in the rearview mirror, she's like, mommy, and I look at her, and she just sticks her little finger up and points left, and she goes, you need mommy juice? I was like, damn it, Gwen.
Oh, boy. See? Yep.
I do. Yes, actually. I do. Thank you for thinking of your mother.
Yes, thank you.
So...
I know. Well, I remember, like, so Kelsey, my oldest, is in her 3rd year of school. So I guess it was like 4 years ago, because she was getting ready to go to college, and she had never had anything to drink. I don't even think, like, she had, like, snuck it behind her back. Like, she was not doing it. And we're like, all right, so this summer we want you to, like, actually, like, have a couple drinks while we're here, not driving, because I want you to be safe. Like, I want you to know how it affects you so that you don't go to college and have this experience. And at first she was, like, super like, no, I don't drink. Blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to, like, force you, but I also want you to be prepared, because when you get to school, you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she did with us over the summer. And, like, that first summer was kind of like, meh. But now, like, three years later, like, she's a college kid, right? Like, she's almost 21. And
yeah.
But it was actually, like, I think our point was proven, because she has said to us, like, I knew what to expect. I knew how much I could handle and didn't get out of control. I'm like, that's perfect. That's exactly what we want. Like, I know you're going to be in college and do stupid shit, but at least you have an idea how it feels, and you've done it with us in a safe environment before you go and you're, God forbid, around like all these, you know, fraternity boys.
Right. Right. So did you guys like, so how is that with like an ex in the picture? Did you guys like, you know, send that idea over for like, you know, any sort of response?
No. That would definitely not have been received well. I think that the other side does not see things that way. So probably was not communicated that way. But I think my husband and I still feel good about it. Like, it's just kind of how we're going to raise our family and what we control in our house. And in the two other houses that our kids go to, may or may not be the same way.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I think that's just a good example of, you know, different people might have different values or maybe not always approve, but, you know, if it is for the best interest of your child and it clearly, you know, served her well. So, you know, it was a success in that way.
I think so. What do you think about like money issues? That's always a big one, and differences between different families and the value system.
Yeah, it's funny because when we were sort of talking before we started, I was thinking that, don't they say that money differences are like one of the main reasons why couples break up, that they just, you know, think about things differently? Like, I listened to this Susie Orman podcast, Women and Money, and she's always talking about how, you know, in different relationships, when one person is the saver and one person is the spender, what type of conflict can come from that? So I think if that, you know, existed in your relationship before you split up, that that's certainly going to probably be, you know, firmed up even more while you're apart. Because if you were like the regulating person in that relationship, so, you know, if you're the one that's doing the bills and you're the one that's saying, you know, we can't put the Christmas presents on the credit card, you know, we need to do this instead of pay for vacations. When you're split, I think that can be very difficult, because if one person is more thrifty and like budget conscious and the other person is more, you know, just be in the moment and worry about the bills later, that can, like, for a kid, you know, you're going on three vacations with dad and mom, you know, we just go to like the Cape May Zoo. So it can be a little bit difficult, I think, in terms of like how it is for the kids.
No doubt. And you know, not only does it make it difficult for the kids, but then they bring it back to you and say, well, but dad took me here. Well, but mom took me here and we did this and this. And how come we just have to stay home this weekend? And that plays on your mom or dad guilt as, you know, the split family. And you're like, oh my gosh, like I really need to do. And I feel like a lot of people are probably tempted to just, okay, we'll put on the credit card because I need to keep up with the Joneses, right? Like I need to keep up with my ex and what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want them to outdo me.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you, like, I feel like I've gotten to a point though, where like having, you know, like financial freedom and financial independence is more important to me than like the trip or the present, you know, like, because it's all just small things that add up to something, you know, overwhelming, that it's kind of like just facing it in the moment. So I'll say to my girls, like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you're going to Florida. That's great. You're going skiing. That's awesome. You're going to have so much fun. You know, like, that's not something that I can do right now. I mean, I could if I put it all in a credit card, but that's, you know, not the direction and that's not the focus of where I want to be. So, you know,
I think as your girls get older, you, like, right now they're too young to understand, but as they grow, you can show them the money value and why you did what you did and how you live, because they're going to need to have that experience and knowledge also, that, listen, if you work and you make X amount of dollars, you can't spend three times that on a trip. Like, it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, like, and I think that that's smart. Like, they're probably a little too young to grasp that, but mine are old enough to get it, and they see, like, okay, you and dad are working and mom's working, but like you know, you guys are working really hard and we're like trying to like manage six kids and okay. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's fine that Christmas is smaller this year because we get it. Like there's, you know, a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And the older ones are able to grasp that now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it, yeah. I think like you said, when you start looking at your parent as just another adult, you can even take that into account, how they, you know, interact with money and what their relationship is with money. Cause it's different for every person.
Sure. And I have a story, a friend of mine. So she and her ex-husband had a daughter together. And then when she was pregnant with her second daughter, they got divorced. And apparently the ex-husband, I've never met him, but he was very wealthy. I think his family had money and then he made his own money. So like very wealthy. And she had signed a prenup before they got together. And now he takes their two daughters on like really luxurious, like Paris vacations, like 2-week yacht vacations, whatever. She's a single mom. She's not remarried. She does, you know, well, she has two homes. Like they have a beach house and a regular house and she's good, but not to that level. And it's right. It's hard for her. Like she'll cry to me sometimes about how, you know, like the girls are gone for 2 weeks on this like European vacation and it's fabulous for her daughters. Like she's so happy that they're able to experience all that, but at the same time, like how awful, like how not awful but rough is that, that they're gone for that long, and B, like he's like outdoing her by like 1,000,000%.
Yeah, totally. Like I think that, and that kind of is what one of the family values that I wrote down for me that's important with me and my girls, you know, we'll get to it, but just about making your own adventure at all times, you know? So like, no matter where we are, what we're doing, this is going to be what the most fun thing around is. You know, it doesn't matter if we're at like a trampoline park or we're in ShopRite, you know, we're going to have a great time together. So I think for your friend, just kind of like taking that on her own level of, you know, you just can't compete. There's just always going to be people in life that have more money than you. So, you know, you can like lament it or you can just figure out a different path.
I think that that's actually a great lesson. Like there's always going to be people that have more, whether they're your ex-husband, ex-wife, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, or somebody you don't even know. Like there's always going to be that. So finding your own peace and your happiness in what you have and your own family values is exactly where it's at.
Yeah. So you decided to write down, do you want to talk about that, about crafting your own family value system? Because I do think that's important.
Absolutely. I think one of the things I was thinking is when you're dealing with a blended family and you're trying to incorporate your values and the other sides, or maybe multiple sides of the values, is the first thing you need to do is be clear on what your values are. So one of the things that, you know, I thought about is that coming up with a value system or a mission statement of your family. And we've talked about this in the past about doing like a family meeting or just talking about what we're going to do in our home. We've never actually done it. I think I've talked about doing a family meeting a couple times and I don't think it's actually ever happened. Mm-hmm. But write it down and write down what's important in your house and what's important for your family, and keep it simple. Like don't go too crazy, maybe 10 or less like big ideas that you want to have as your family values. Maybe write it somewhere in your house and have it posted so everybody can participate in it. A book that I loved that I read recently is called The Four Agreements.
Oh, yeah.
That one was like awesome. I really have been sticking to most of that in my own life. Did you read that too?
I did, although I just got that confused with another book, The Four Love Languages.
That's good too. Yes. Or
however many there.
I think it's five, right?
Five.
Love languages. Yeah.
Yes. So both good.
Both really good. So, I don't know. What do you think? Like, what are your family values?
So, you know, I try to really just focus on my girls and, you know, like our situation has changed over the last like year or two. So I really try to make our values be what is the foundation of their life, so that, you know, despite what might be going on externally, that they always have that like safety and that security with us together. So For me, and you and I are very similar in this, you know, always being respectful, being respectful, you know, to each other, to me, to adults, to their friends, to people, you know, in public, that they're respectful in what they do and what they say, that's something that's just always has to be there no matter what. And it's always been, you know, to the point where my little one now, she'll just say like, please come sit with me, please come play with me, please do this, please do that. Like, she's so damn sweet. So you're like, of course I will do that because you're asking so nicely. For me, I think this is like, because I have a sensitive older daughter, accountability and forgiveness. So the idea that everybody makes mistakes, but we have to admit it. But at the same time, it's okay. Like, basically, if she does something wrong and I correct her, she's very sensitive and she'll almost start to cry like immediately. And I'll say, well, just don't do it again. You know, like, you're not perfect. You're 5, but don't do it again. Like, you hear me being upset about it. So just in the future, don't do it again. And I think there's just kind of a nice way of saying that there's room for error, but there's also like a guiding principle of where you have to act. The third thing, I have 4. The third thing is what I mentioned before about finding adventure in everything that we do. So, you know, when we go to the food store, we're going to have the best damn time at the food store. We're going to be laughing. We're going to be singing. You know, they're like eating bagels and pushing those shopping carts and, you know, just having a great time, because if we can have fun together at the ShopRite, you know, on a Monday night, then we can have a great time anywhere. So that's just really important to me. And that this is for them, because I grew up with 2 brothers, and my girls are, you know, 2 sisters, and that I always want them to take care of each other. So I always want them to look out for each other, to stand up for each other, to understand each other. So, you know, in the morning that they have to like look at each other in the eyes and say good morning, you know, that they, if they're, one is talking to the other, that they have to like turn and look at them, you know, they can't ignore each other, that they have to be kind to each other. And like, even we had this mom's club party, and one of my friends, Stacy, put on like the SpongeBob like giant foam head, which really freaked Gwen out. So Rylan runs over and starts like pounding on the foam head, and she was like, don't you touch my sister.
Aww.
And I was like, that's amazing. It is one of our friends, it's not stranger danger.
It's fine. Yeah.
But in general, like, yes, you always need to take care of each other, because you guys are going to be, you know, that's it. You can't, there's nothing closer than your sister. So that's just something. Those are my family values. How about for you?
I want to comment on yours first, because I love that. And some of ours kind of overlap, but the find adventure thing is so fun, because I am not a fun person. Like, I'm very like serious. And one of my girlfriends the other day said, like, they went to ShopRite with her daughter, who I think she's like 12 or 13. And they had to like only step on the white squares in ShopRite. So her and her daughter are like just jumping around ShopRite, like cracking up. And I'm like, that's not something I would think of to do. I would probably do it, but it's not something that would like cross my mind. But I love the fact that you're like fun and like finding adventure and doing stuff like that. Like, I'm always a very like, okay, we have to do this, we have to do this. Like, you know, be quiet. Like, let's get this done. Like, I have to just get through this process.
Yeah.
So kudos. I think that's fun. It makes life more interesting for you guys.
Yeah. It's just for me about like, you know, being like awake and aware of them in the, being in the moment is, it's easiest for me with them. It's probably like, I'm probably like you in every other part of my life. I'm always like scheming and planning and lists and, you know, who I have to talk to and a million different things. And, you know, I'm years ahead and years behind, but when I'm with my girls, that is honestly like the only time that I can be very present. So I just like take my cue from them, because we've jumped on the white squares at ShopRite, you know, and crashed into like potato chips and stuff. So
that's fun. Yeah. Good for you. I'm in total agreement with you about sticking together. Like, I do not have siblings, but I definitely convey to my kids, like, listen, someday you all will be all you have together, because someday dad and I will be gone And you all need to get along and be friends and love each other, because this is your family. And it's important that you love each other and respect each other so that we feel like we've done our job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So our family values are to always tell the truth. One of the things I've gotten from the four agreements is to be impeccable with your word. I feel like I'm pretty good with that, and I kind of always have been. Like, you can't expect people to respect or trust you if you lie, cheat, steal, like, and you aren't honest with what you say. Mm-hmm. I always go with do what you say you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is. If I say I'm going to pick you up at school early today, I'm going to pick you up at school early today.
Right.
You know, very simple. Always treat each other with respect, just like you said. You know, Dad and I treat each other respectfully. We don't curse each other. We don't scream and yell. I don't expect you guys to treat me that way. We definitely struggle with this one with some of the girls, especially my 6-year-old right now. But that's one of the things I feel very strongly about.
Yeah.
And always do your best, even if nobody's watching you. I feel like that's one of those like work ethic things that ties in. You know, if you're at karate or gymnastics or football, or you're at school, or you're just like doing your homework and you're like scribbling your name or you're writing it neatly, like just always do your best in everything. And I think one of the things I wanted to touch on earlier that we didn't get to was sports,
mm-hmm.
and how I think sports can totally tie into this. Like, it really teaches you at a young age or whatever age you get involved in sports to always do your best and give 100%.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've heard of the book Grit, but it's basically, the whole premise is like that, you know, the kids that succeed most in life are not the ones with the highest IQ, but they're the ones that have the most determination. So mm-hmm. you don't have to be the best, you know, football player on the field, but if you keep trying, you're going to have the most enjoyment, and that is contagious, and, you know, you probably will excel, or you will, you know, find your life passion in whatever study that you have, because you just keep giving it so much effort. So I do really like that value.
I love that. I'm going to add that link to that book on our mm-hmm. On our notes, because that's, I definitely learned that from sports growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is always a big thing in our house is to be positive and happy, because we have a lot of teenagers, we have a lot of hormones, we have a lot of negativity. And for me, I'm always like, I wake up in the morning and I want to be happy. Like, we woke up today, like, it's a great day. Like, let's be positive and happy. Life is too short to go through the day miserable.
Yeah.
Good
choice.
Yep. And apologize often. It's kind of funny. Like, my kids have gotten really good at apologizing, which is great. Like, I think it's, and I praise them all the time. I'm like, you're getting really good at saying, I'm sorry. Like, I'm proud of you. Now, let's work on not doing the thing that causes you to have to say, I'm sorry.
Right. Especially if it was the thing that I told you yesterday not to do.
Exactly. But I think being able to apologize and admit that you're wrong is a big character trait that everybody needs to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just being humble, you know, we're not perfect.
Right. We're not, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, and that's okay.
Yep.
Yep. So anything else to add?
No, those were fantastic. I wholeheartedly agree.
Awesome. I love yours too. I think we're on a good track. Hopefully our kids won't end up too messed up, right?
That's on them.
Yeah. All right. Well, episode 13 is in the books. We hope we shared something helpful for you all tonight. If something resonated with you or what you're going through, please let us know. Share our podcast with your friends and comment. Our goal is to help us all step up in our parenting skills and to blend gracefully. See you next week on the Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families.
Cheers.
Cheers.